Good morning. It's good to see the few we have left that's not out of town or traveling. We're in the Revelation, the 13th chapter. We'll start that this morning. In chapter 12, we saw the battle between the Lord and the dragon, and the victory went to the Lord. This is comfort. We don't really realize what a great blessing that is. Now, who did we say the dragon was? Satan or devil? That's the dragon. So Satan has been defeated. The dragon turned on the woman and the rest of her seed and persecuted them. Okay? Since the battle between the Lord and the dragon was decided that the Lord won, now he is going to go after the Lord's children. That's who he can going to try to affect. And that's what he's done. That's the woman and the rest of her seed. He's going to go after you and I. The children of God, that's who he's going to be trying to persecute. Now, in chapter 13, we'll show the instruments of this persecution. We saw at the end of chapter 12 where he was going to go after the seed, the Christian. And now in chapter 13, you will see that this is fulfilled by the dragon. Chapter 13 has a fierce and horrible news to tell. The dragon has his henchmen, a horrible pair. Pair. He's got two beasts. The first one we're going to talk about is the one that come up from the sea, and then the second part was one of the beasts that comes up from the earth. And these are his henchmen, are work for him. The saints are to receive much tribulation at their hands. Comfort and victory are notes that must be sounded over and over again. In the face of the trials of daily living, sometimes it's hard to keep in mind that God really is in control, which we talked about some Wednesday night. How much more do we need to be reminded of that truth when under pressures such as the church faced then? And this is Revelation. This is for those saints, those Christians, in this time being on the Roman Empire that is being persecuted under tribulations and trials. And it's more than other ways to be economic way. You don't may not lose your death, but some of them have lost their lives for it. It is a great hardship for them. And so you can try to look at and see now how this book is really a comfort to them. And hopefully it's going to be a great comfort to us. In my studies about reading about Revelation and going back in the Roman period of time and look at the tribulations that the Christians were suffering, you can see why this book will be a great comfort for them. You think about when he had talked about their receiving their white robes and how that he will provide for them, give them the living water forever. And this is what they needed. I also told you Wednesday night that Daniel chapter 7 is a good book to read before you get into the 13th chapter. And I really wasn't going to read in it, but I've changed my mind. We will read some of chapter 7 in Daniel. Excuse me. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, it says, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, you see here the leopard, the bear, and the lion, which we will see in the beast combined in one. The beast will have all these characteristics. Then verse 7. After I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue of its feet with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Well, you say, Dale, this is just as confusing as chapter 13. However, if you go on, it'll explain what he's talking about. In verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known me the interpretation of these things. These 4 great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings or kingdoms which arise out of the earth. If you remember when we studied Daniel, this is actually the first one was Babylon. The second one was the Medo-Persia. The third one was Alexander the Great, or the Grecian. And the fourth was Rome, the Roman Empire. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Well, what did we notice about these 4 kingdoms we talked about Wednesday? Where are they at now? They're gone. Where's the Babylonian Empire? Do we have a great one? How about the Roman Empire? It was great at this time, both of those. But there is a kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever. That's the big difference. That's the kingdom you want to become a member of. That's the one you want to become a saint to talk about. Verse 19, then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, with his teeth and iron and his nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residues with his feet. And the 10 horns that were on his head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. This fourth one, the Roman Empire, is talking about making war against the saints, persecuting the saints. And it was winning, it was prevailing. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said in verse 23, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample and break it in pieces. This is the Roman Empire. This is describing how big and fierce it was. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first one, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Blasphemous words against the Most High. This king put himself in the same place as God and pleads these words against him and said, look, I'm just as good as you are, God. And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. These people, these Jews, the ones who are going to persecution, they understand, are familiar with Daniel, the 7th chapter. They understand the prophecy, what this is. And this is particularly taken by the Roman Empire. And they are in this particular time. They understand it because they understand the king, the kingdom now, the Caesar, the emperor, is prevailing against them. The church has been established here. But it's the kingdom, the Roman Empire, the Caesar, is winning. And he's writing this letter to them. Now remember Daniel 7? What happened? That kingdom shall come down. It's there for a time. It's there for my time. And I'll tell you when the time is. It's a limited time. But my kingdom, it's going to be there forever and ever. You're going to look and see. You won't see maybe, but there will be. That the Roman Empire is going to go down, but my kingdom is going to be there. It seems like it is winning, it is prevailing, but let me just tell you, it's not going to win. It just seems that way. And I know you're going through hard times. And that's the reason this letter of Revelation is to help you, to comfort you, that victory, you will are on the winning side. You're on God's side, and stay true to it. All right. That's Daniel 7. Now we're going to get into Revelation 13 chapter. Any questions or comments before we go? Charles?
I agree. You can't already understand Revelation 13 chapter without understanding Daniel the 7th chapter. Of course, you're the expert in Daniel. I'm not expert in anything. But when I read Daniel 7, it helped me understand what we're talking about. Any kingdom, especially the Roman, the Persian, Babylonian, some of those that's already gone, any kingdom that goes against God is a tool of Satan. And Satan uses all of those. And that's definitely representing the first beast. And Daniel says it won't last, it won't be gone. And Daniel brings out more of what they are, you know. So that's what we're dealing with. The early Christians knew that, you know. And then when we get down to those countries are gone, but we might have others that came up during the lifetime. I don't know. And we might have some more later on come up too. They'll be just as bad as these right here, the Roman Empire or wherever it is. I don't know. God knows. But the same thing will apply to them. They're just a moving human kingdom. And when you have emperor worship, you know, like some of that's really bad. You know, when they make you bow down to some man and to God, you give you like that. Now, we're going to find, I'll just jump ahead just a little bit, the second beast is more like a lie. We have more of that today, false doctrine and lies than countries raising up against us. That's still very common. You can look around Bowling Green and see all the people as deceived. So Satan is still working that away. And these are tools of his going against the church. I know that's the bottom line. We might not be able to agree on anything else, but that's exactly what he's trying to teach us.
Yeah. The emphasis is basically, to me, is to understand. And this is really, like I talk about in the introduction, it's just very hard to understand when you're seeing your friends, your loved ones being persecuted or put to death, that God is in control. It's tough. But he's telling you, yes, I am in control. And you just say, look back at the times. And y'all, basically, you just look back in the Old Testament. Every time judgment came against, God did a judgment. The Ancient of Days, that's God, did a judgment. And he did a judgment against all four of those kingdoms. The Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great died early in life. His was kind of a short one, but you had four kings come up that took over his empire, which was the Grecian one. Then you had the great Roman Empire, which came about. And at this particular time, you know, this particular covering the world, this Roman Empire is a vast thing. Babylon was too. But it's not as great as the kingdom of God. That's the thing. And you look at the time, the history, and history all the time, those kingdoms came up. God, and they got wicked, and God gave a judgment against them, and they come tumbling down. But it's tough while you're under persecution to believe it.
And verse 27 there, of Daniel 7, I think, is the key that had to be where comfort
came from. Yeah. It is, and that's the reason I emphasize comfort, comfort, comfort. What a great joy it is. No, we have a God like that. Charles?
You know, I was having a breakfast this morning. This guy sat next to me and started talking to me about Revelation. and evidently, he didn't know what he was talking about. And I kind of left him with that idea. You know, these people jump in on Revelation and they fly to space and astronauts. God is not dealing with that, you know, but, you know, you can read this and read anything in there you want to, you know, you can let your imagination run wild. But if you're struggling with the ideal, God cast the Satan to the earth to attack his people. Why didn't he just annihilate him? I said, you're getting pretty close to blaspheming God right there. God chose how he wanted to do it, you know. He has both plans. He wants us to choose. The way God chose to do it, then I accept it, you know, and I don't try to put my mind into the mind of God, because he's a God. He's the ultimate. His buck stops there, you know. But we've started to question him. We better watch it like that, though. You're getting close to blaspheming God, and you don't want to do that.
As we go through chapter 13, we'll see also this was God's plan before the world even began, the foundation. This is no hit and miss thing, people. This is God's plan. And it came along just like he planned it. This is God's plan, all right? And we'll see this also in chapter 13. Anything else before we begin? All right, let's go to... All right, first, chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Okay. All right. Starts off, then I stood on the sand. Well, a better translation is not the word I, but is he, the dragon. It's not really important where John is standing, but I think it is more important where the dragon is standing in this case. So then I think it's better interpreted as then I or would be he, the dragon. He stood on the sand of the sea because the beast became rising up out of the sea. So this is where the dragon is. And we have already talked about the seventh chapter. The sea, we have talked about before, and basically we uncovered it. That, you know, that's just the unregenerated man, the ungodly man, and then here's the beast coming up out of the sea, and the sea and the world and the earth. Okay? Here's a clue. If it's not coming up from heaven, or coming down from heaven, then it's coming from some other source. So if God is heaven, so if it's not up in heaven, this source is from the Satan, the devil. So when you see it coming up from the sea or from the earth, you can pretty well assume that that beast there is a tool or instrument of Satan. And this is the kingdom here he's talking about that has come under the control of Satan himself. And that's what he's talking about. And the beast is described as having 10 horns. That's symbolizing power, 7 heads, intelligence and wisdom, and had 10 crowns. It's indicating rule. Okay? It tells you it's got power. It's got wisdom. But you understand, it's not as great as God, but it is more powerful than you think. You've got to give them credit where credit is due. This beast has some wisdom, some intelligence with it. It has great power and authority with him. And just don't get that wrong, thinking that, you know, you can go against this. This is a tool of the Satan. This is his. It's under his protection. And he's talking about here, the blasphemous name. And basically in what he's talking about here, where we're talking about belief, that with the pompous words back there. It's come up with authority. This king has come up with authority. Look, I am just as great as God. And that's what he's telling the world. All right? And the world's falling for it. And you'll see here later on how they are deceived and into this. Somebody just can't come up and say, look, I'm the greatest one there is here. You guys are nothing. I'm it, but you guys are nothing. Well, how am I going to do that? I can say it all I want to, but I got to prove it. For make you to believe that I am the greatest in it, I have to show you something of it. Well, if I do that, let me just tell you, it's going to be by deception. And that's the greatest tool that the devil has. And that's how he's going to deceive the world. He has this authority. He has this intelligence. He has this power. But it's through deception. And the world fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
You know, the devil is still doing that.
Good example for us to see. All right. And he describes, and I said, the beast which I saw, it was like a leopard, and its feet was like the bear, and its mouth was like a lion. You know, the leopard, we always can think about the leopard, how swift he is, the bear, how powerful he is, and in the mouth of the lion, he won't get on his prey. He's anxious to destroy. So you can see how this beast is described. And it's in the terminology here, it's a, you know, this kingdom is a mighty kingdom. And then he says, no, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Well, the dragon, the devil, gave him, this is the authority that he gave to him. You know, for you kingdoms, you know, and governments was ordained by God. And we are to obey our civil government. We'll talk about that later on, too. But for you, your Star Wars fans, this kingdom has moved over to the dark side. Because if it's ordained by God or thing, doesn't mean that this cannot be persuaded, and this beast, this kingdom, the kings cannot be persuaded to go under Satan's rule. And that's what has happened here. The emperors here are under the influence of Satan. That's what he's talking about. This beast, this kingdom, this emperor, this Caesar, however you want to describe it, whatever country you want, the president, whatever, he has been deceived by Satan. And he's thinking that he's got this power, this great power. And he does. And he's going to use it to boost himself up. That's the reason he's going to speak these pompous words or things, and blasphemous words. That's the reason he's going to elevate himself up to God, because he thinks he's God. Here's a man that thinks he's on the same level as God. And he wants to see the same adulation that God gets, the same glory that God gets. I want to receive it. I see you give this altar and you give these sacrifices and these praises to God. I want to receive that. And he's been deceived that he can do that. Because he does have power. And he does have authority. And he does use it. And this is what they're going up against. You understand? This is who the saints and the Christians have to live under. And you can understand how hard it's going to be under that. Now, when you read this or see this, let me tell you, there's, like Charles said, there's a number of interpretations out there. I mean, on this one little section, I know there are at least 10 different interpretations. And I'm sure there's more than that, but I know the 10. And it's kind of difficult thing, but I'm not going to present all the interpretation. I'm trying to basically, you know, from the standpoint is we've decided this looks like the route we're going to go, and it seems that everything, if you cave in that route, it will work out. And if you look at the Old Testament and look at it and how it goes, it seems like it's falling away. And you just don't take these things literally. And that's what, like Charles talking about, a lot of people, you know, they know it's symbolism, but the next word, you take a number, and they'll take it, well, that's a literal thing. Or take this, that's a literal thing. No, these are symbols. This is a beast, this is an empire. This is not a particular person. It can be. And it's in this particular time, you got these different kings come along, these different horns think, yes, they are particular Caesars along. The first one that started persecuting the Christian in the Roman Empire was around the 60s AD, which was Nero. Alright? And this is what we're going to be talking about in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Okay? Nero was the first one that probably started it, the persecution. But he died. Well, he was mortally wounded, he says. and his deadly wound was healed. Well, how can that be? Well, there's another one that came up like him later on, Domitian. And he was even greater persecutor than Nero. But he followed the same pattern. He was persuaded the same way. Everybody, if you've read anything about Nero, you know how crazy he was. Or he seems to be. He may have been very intelligent, but he seems very crazy. Well, Domitian is the same type. He's got the same type of personality that he wants to elevate himself up that way. So he's talking about here that how he was mortally wounded, and it's kind of like it's healed. Well, no, it's another Caesar come along that's just like him, and it seems like him that he's come back alive. Well, it's not Nero, but it's Domitian. Now, some people thought, yes, it was. You know how World War II, people thought Hitler wasn't killed. They saw him later on. Well, there at this particular time, there are people who said, yes, Nero didn't die. He's come back. That's him. No, it's not. It's one like him that follows the same pattern. But let me tell you, Domitian probably was crueler than Nero. And it says, all the world marveled and followed after him. Well, he's the emperor. He has his power and authority. And he's using it to deceive the people. And that's the reason they're marveled at it. And that's the reason they're following after him. And if he says this is what it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. And you can see it nowadays not only in our country, but the world over, how countries are and how kingdoms are. And how you got like the guy in North Korea. You look at China or any place, you look at Russia, anything like that. How much power and authority they have. And how would you like to live in a place like that? Well, then you understand how these people at this particular time. Because he's telling these, when he started about, these are the things that will come about shortly. And this is for you people that are living in this early period of time to help you understand that it's not going to last forever. All right, verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Well, why did they worship the dragon? Well, they worshiped the beast. So they give him the power, the glory to him. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You know, he's got this. This is a powerful kingdom. There's no doubt about it. And it's encompassing the world. And the Romans have a superior army, and they come in, and they can crush. And they say, well, who's going to go war against this beast? If you're in your right mind, you're not going to. You see what it has done, you're not going to do it. And you see how great and powerful it is, and then you can understand, well, you know, Caesar, he's in control of this great kingdom. He's the head man. And you can understand why what people say, well, look at him and give him the praise and the glory. Because he is the king of this kingdom. And we'll describe to you how great it is. And so, you understand, when you have power, it's going to be hard to resist. And the world is going to come in, and they're going to entice to it, and they're going to fall through it. And then the world's going to look at you. You mean you're not going to bow down to Caesar? The greatest of that, I mean, he's the head man. And you're not going to serve him? You're not going to worship his image here? What's wrong with you? See what the Christians were going through? their friends, a neighbor, the people they work with. Well, yes, I'm going to bow down to Caesar. How do you think I hold this job? How do you think I got this job? How do you think I'm going to move up? If I don't do this, I'm going to be stuck down here. You know, I have a wife, kids to support. I've got to do something other. And if he wants me to do that, that's what I'll do. And you're not going to do that? Well, you just stay over there. I don't be anything with you. This is what they were going through. The hardships that they were going through. You had to put yourself in their position, their place right now, what they're going through. And you give you a great understanding of their faith. Charles?
That's very important right there. God said, my people are being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. And so a little bit of that blame goes to me, not to God. You know. And, you know, I talked to somebody the other day. If you don't come to the Bible study and worship service, I have a hard time believing that you're studying your Bible at home, too. You know? But you're not going to answer me. You're going to answer God. And God knows if you're doing that. You know? And so we don't know when somebody says something, what the Scripture says. That's how it gets far and gets grown. That's how come we got 500, 1,000 denominations in the world. Because people didn't know what the gospel said about it and stood up to it. You know? My people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. I might be wrong. You might be studying your Bible at home. But a good sign that you're not when you're not in attendance when the doors of the church building is open.
I give you just a little example here. I had a fellow come in the store yesterday. He says, I changed. I'm not a Democrat no more. I've been a Democrat for 55 years. And I looked at the Democrat Party and says, if I'm a Christian, I can't do it. And I changed. And he said, I put it out on my Twitter that I am no longer a Democrat. And he said, yes, I got some feedback from it. And it wasn't very positive. But he made a stand. Well, whether he's right or not wrong, but he made a stand. He said, I cannot do it. If I cannot be a Christian to be a Democrat, and he particularly says their platform of abortion. He said, I can't do it no more. So I made a change. And we'll begin verse 5 Wednesday. Thank you very much.